90. Then we'll be in the low 90s on Wednesday. Widely scattered storms. Not much change on Thursday. The storms a little bit more numerous by Thursday and Friday, though, and into Saturday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. The Alabama Department of Public Health is reporting close to 6,000 new coronavirus cases in the last 2 weeks. This brings the total number of confirmed cases to more than 17,000. Health officials say at least 630 people have died across the state. Montgomery police are investigating a wreck Sunday night involving a pedestrian. The wreck happened just before 9 o'clock near Fairview Avenue and Interstate 65. Police say one person has life-threatening injuries after being hit by a vehicle. And hurricane season officially begins today, and state EMA officials say sheltering will look different this year because of the coronavirus. State EMA Director Brian Hastings says the state will look at opening more shelters to allow for social distancing. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Hey there, I'm a dog. Now, I know we tend to eat things we probably shouldn't, but what you put in that food bowl really makes a difference. And dogs love it when you feed us Nutrina dog food from Prattville Farm Center. I love the taste and the energy it gives me, and you'll love it too, because it's made locally and won't hurt your wallet. Now, I've got squirrels to chase. See ya.
See the full line of Nutrina products at Prattville Farm Center, 1154 South Memorial Drive, or call 365-5400.
Adams Drugs has been serving your family in the River Region for over 58 years. We have been and always will be here for you. We want to stress that everyone practice diligent social distancing, stay at home if you can, wash your hands often, and frequently clean the surfaces you come in contact with. This is a time to take pause and not a time to panic. We need to be thankful for the blessings we have and many times take for granted. Be sure to check on family, friends, and neighbors to make sure they have the necessities they need. Rest assured, Adams Drugs has retained the amount of medicines needed to fill the monthly prescriptions you depend on us for. If you have any symptoms of the COVID-19, such as fever, cough, shortness of breath, or congestion, please do not come into the store. Rather, you can call us with your prescriptions, and we can either bring them to you curbside or deliver to you at home. With our practice of good hygiene, the flu season may not be as bad next year as it is this year. We will get through this with each other's help. Thank you for trusting Adams Drugs with your prescription needs.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM. Dan Morris Show on a Monday. Starting your week out right. Got an interesting guest that's calling in today, Ron Kurdesky. He's got a book coming out, They're Not Listening. I think the premiere date is June the 16th. Ron, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You're an interesting gentleman.
Oh, well, thank you.
tell me your take, Ryan, on all the demonstrations that are happening. Do you think, well, let me just get your general take, and then we'll kind of take it apart a little bit.
Well, you know, listen, everyone has a right to demonstrate if they want to. And I've been on demonstrations before. I've been on Tea Party demonstrations and other ones throughout my life. And it usually is at a certain time, at a certain place. You sit there, you have speakers, you have signs, you protest, you rally, you register voters, and then you all go home. They don't last for days and days and days. They don't sit there and break out to burn buildings down. They don't sit there and riot. They don't sit there and attack police officers. This is not a protest anymore. This is a mob, and the only way you handle a mob is you have to smash a mob. You need a hard law and order style leader who will not bow to a mob burning down their cities. And it is essential at this point that we take control of the situation by smashing the mob. We can have any conversation about police brutality or race relations afterwards, but the first things first, you need to smash the mob.
Well, it's interesting. I noticed last night, I'm a a big watcher of media, and all of a sudden, the talking heads, and you definitely heard it with Morning Joe and Mika this morning, is that they started kind of that, well, these may be some left-wing people, but also some far-right people that are there. But it was like, it was absolutely far-right, maybe some far-left type thing. Have you noticed that they're starting to kind of realize that this isn't working for them and that somebody's going
to
get...
Well, they have to make a narrative. They have to make a narrative. The narrative is, I mean, you saw this on MSNBC and CNN over the weekend, that this is Trump supporters. This is not right-wingers. This is not, you know, Trump supporters. These are anarchists. These are far-left activists. Some of them are just angry young people. Some of them are people taking advantage of a situation of lawlessness. I mean, you saw where I live in New York. You saw people breaking into shoe stores and shops. And some of them probably don't even have politics. They don't probably care. They're seeing lawlessness. They're seeing the laws not being enforced, and they're taking advantage. There's probably a little bit of all that. But no, this is not a right-wing movement. This is not a white supremacist movement. This is not any of that stuff. This is an anarchist movement. This is a far-left movement. These are angry young people, some of them. Some of them probably are apolitical, as I said, and are just trying to take advantage of lawlessness. So what you need to do more than anything else is enforce the law, smash the mob, and then we can move forward. But we cannot, as long as there are cities in America that are burning every night.
I bet you really miss Rudy about this time, don't you?
Oh, I mean, listen, Mayor Giuliani, these white liberal yuppies who have moved to this city to sit there and cause chaos would not be able to live in this city had it not been for Mayor Giuliani. My father was a cop in New York City during the time that Giuliani was mayor.
Oh, really?
And he was a cop from 1991 to 2006. There was a very, very, very different time in this city. Crime was 2,000-3,000 murders per year. And now we have 200-300 murders per year. You need law and order. I wrote this in my book, They're Not Listening, which is available for pre-sale on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. But the cornerstone of civilization is law and order. That is it. And if you do not have law and order, you do not have civilization. That is what President Trump needs to do. And that's why we need to elect law and order candidates on the top of the ballot to the bottom of the ballot across the entire country. And Alabama has a chance to do that when they can elect Jeff Sessions, United States Senate, in the upcoming special election, special primary that's happening in July.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. I tap into other media sources, so I'll tap into Minneapolis and look at their coverage. Their coverage is very different than ABC, NBC, and CBS, even though you're watching the NBC affiliate. I mean, they're showing pictures of people stacking bricks outside of stores so they can pick up those bricks and throw them through the window. They're showing, and New York did the same thing, WABC of all places. They're showing that they have bottles full of gasoline hidden under bushes and things and bricks that are stacked out there. It seems this is so organized, and these mayors that have been weenies like Blasio and the mayor of Minneapolis, that guy's incredible. They're getting exactly what they're allowing to have happen.
Right. Well, you know, in New York, we have a police force that is very well trained, that has been organized for years how to deal with situations like this. So we haven't seen any burning. Looting has been very, very, very minimal. It happened last night in one area. But the NYPD is...
Do you live near Soho?
What?
Do you live near... Because didn't it happen in Soho?
It happened in Soho. I don't live in Soho, no. But I don't live that far away. But we have one of the best police forces in the entire country.
Absolutely.
And they have been allowed, and surprisingly, and I will give de Blasio a little bit of credit, for the first two nights, he told them, basically, do what you have to do. I mean, the New York Police Department just arrested de Blasio's own daughter.
Yeah, I saw that.
They did. I mean, we arrested the mayor's daughter because she was trying to block the street. And I'm sorry, that is not what a protest is. A protest doesn't sit there and try to block streets and break down civil society. A protest is there and tries to register voters, get their point across, do things peacefully and act peacefully. Breaking a window, setting something on fire, and looting and robbing and threatening the life and livelihood of people is not a protest. It is a mob and it is a riot. And the only thing you can do with a mob and a riot is put it down. And if a mayor or a governor cannot put it down. It is up to the President of the United States to call in the military and to sit there and secure, one, our national historical sites, which are being destroyed right now, and secondly, residential neighborhoods and commercial areas. If a governor or mayor fails to do it, that is the only other option. The President has the absolute right and authority to do it. And we need people like Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, who today was calling for that. But we need more and more and more voices. And it's imperative that people of Alabama, Republican voters in Alabama, sit there and make the right decision in July and support Jeff Sessions, who has been the leading voice for law and order for decades.
And speaking of Jeff Sessions, one of the things that I have him on the show almost weekly, but one of the places he has been absolutely strong about, and that is China, and that the wrongdoing of China, not telling us, trying to, you know, steal information from us, and they have just been bad actors all the time. Do you think the American public is waking up to that?
Well, I hope so, because China just unveiled a new B-20 bomber, which is the it's the newest and most powerful bombers that they have. It can get to the continental United States parts of it. They got that bomber by stealing American technology. And on the flip side, you have Tommy Tuberville sitting there and saying he's always pro-free trade and we should not investigate China. This is a direct threat to our national security, and we need someone who's going to sit there and understand that. We need to understand them from the military perspective, from the stealing technology perspective, from the immigration perspective. You know, you have senators like Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska, who's calling on us taking in all 3 million citizens from Hong Kong and moving them to America. Do you know how many of those citizens are loyalists to the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party? That is an invitation to bring more loyalists to the Chinese Communist Party and bring them into the United States where they can make more infiltrations. And we have seen over the last few weeks how deeply China has infiltrated our education system, our military, our technology, how they have gotten into the State Department. We are sitting there and seeing how Chinese have spies in almost every facet of the United States, our business, our entertainment, our sports. We need a hardliner on China. We need to realize that China is an existential threat to the United States of America, and we cannot have anyone who wobbles on China. And Tommy Tuberville has sat there repeatedly and said he doesn't want to investigate China. We should let them take care of themselves, and that he's always pro-free trade. No, we cannot have that kind of position anymore. No more free trade with China. No more free giveaways to China. We need a hardline position. We need to bring our supply chains home, and we need to have a real investigation into what China did to bring the coronavirus that shut down the U.S. economy.
You know, we have a lot going on in Washington, D.C. with the Emmett Sullivan case, Michael Flynn. Transcripts have come out. And my talking to Jeff Sessions, I've told him that I believe he was targeted. I think he was one of the many Trump people that they were actually listening in on. Do you think that this is coming to a head fairly soon, in the near future, or somewhere way out there?
I think that, with the unmasking situation, you know, Bill Barr has done a very good job on a lot of things. And I think the unmasking situation should really take a step back and realize something. There was so much lawlessness at the Obama White House with the leaking and the unmasking. To leak confidential information is a crime. We do not yet know how the Washington Post got the unmasking information, but it came out of the Obama White House. And we've seen through the deep state, through the FBI, through everything that's come out in the last 3 years, that there are people in Washington, D.C. who wanted to stop this president, regardless of anybody, regardless of Jeff Sessions, regardless of Congress, regardless of Lindsey Graham, regardless of everybody. They were going to stop this president. They were going to break the law to stop him. So many people have sat there and said to me, well, Jeff Sessions, I like him, but, you know, he recused himself. It would not have mattered. They would have found a way around him. What did they ultimately impeach Donald Trump for? A phone call to the Ukraine.
Right.
Nothing to do with Russia. But it doesn't matter, because that is their imperative. Their imperative is to get rid of and destroy Donald Trump.
And the I think that whole Ukraine thing and Vindman is going to about to start coming out also, how planned that was, particularly with the staff member that Adam Schiff has in his operation all of a sudden showing up. Yeah, this for a talk show host, this is a very exciting time for us.
Oh, there's no shortage of information. There's no shortage of news, that's for sure right now.
Tell the audience about yourself, and then let's talk about your book a little bit.
Oh, okay. So I was a political consultant for many, many years, and I worked on campaigns across the country. Thomas Massey in Kansas, I worked on for the New York State Legislature. And then around the age of 27, 28, I noticed a lot of people who wrote about politics really didn't know anything about politics. So I said, I'll start writing about it. And I worked for the Washington Examiner, and I was the only person in a magazine and a website of 100 people to support President Trump and to say he has a chance of being the candidate and winning and taking his message very seriously. I come from a blue-class, working-collar neighborhood in Queens, New York. I don't have a college degree, I come from a different perspective than maybe Washington insiders do. People who live in the Beltway, people who live to go to fancy dinner parties. I feel like I understand working class people much better than most people do. And I understand their concerns, and I understand and I look at what's happening globally. And that's the point of the book. The book looks at the national populist movement on a global perspective. We're seeing leaders across all of Europe, in parts of Africa, Asia, Australia, South America, North America. This is happening across the globe. And what the media tries to do is dumb it down and sit there and say, oh, it's only angry old white people in Ohio and Wisconsin. That's the reason we have Trump. And then it'll all be over soon. No, it's a real global phenomenon. The rejection of elitism is a rejection of the post-Cold War neoliberal order that for so long told us people are interchangeable, borders don't matter. We really need to work to make the elite in coastal cities powerful and wealthy and forget whatever is in the middle of the country. And that is why we had reactions like President Trump. And that's why we're having reactions across the entire globe. And my book breaks it down on immigration, on trade, on economic despair, on foreign policy, and why this is happening in country after country after country after country.
When you're looking at 2020 election, what, in your opinion, do you see as the biggest top three issues?
Well, right now it's these race riots. President Trump has got to bring down the hammer and stop these riots from happening before they burn down another American city. But the two biggest things going forward right now are, one, China and getting a hold of China, and secondly, and holding them responsible, bringing our supply chains home and working on maybe an infrastructure project to bring our supply chains to regions of the country which are just dilapidated. They're 50 years behind. And then the other major story, I think, in this country right now is going to be bringing back the unemployment. I mean, we have 40 million unemployed Americans right now, and we still have visa programs that give jobs to foreigners. They should go to Americans first. This is a golden opportunity to get jobs programs, to get training for better for our Americans. There's so many working class Americans, black, brown, white, everything, who want to have a better job and a better life and a better opportunity. And we need, as Americans, and especially in our leaders, whether they be Republicans or Democrats, but especially Republicans, we need to sit there and prioritize those people who, you know, they don't have the opportunity of just going to school or learn a new program. They don't have the affordability. They haven't had, you know, the cards maybe dealt in their way in life. And now at a time when we're sitting there and reanalyzing how our economy works, this would be the time to make sure it works for working class people.
And you're at ground zero of unemployment and also of COVID-19. And if New York can kind of get things back together, meaning the city versus the state, then I think that certainly will help the unemployment nationally because y'all have such an impact on the national numbers. Do you think they're going to be able to do it?
Unfortunately, we have a man named Bill de Blasio as our mayor, and he's a former governor. And let me tell you, the two of them combined, I don't know if they could put together a jigsaw puzzle, let alone solve our economy. No, I don't know. I mean, hopefully they can. I mean, we're starting to open up, hopefully, on June 8th. Obviously, it's legal to riot in this city, but you can't sit there and go to a restaurant or a church. But hopefully things are starting to open up sooner than later. I know people are itching to get out, but people are worried also, too. I mean, we did have 20,000 deaths in this state. A large part of that was because of Andrew Cuomo's decision to send sick elderly people to nursing homes. But nonetheless, people are nervous, but they're itching to get out. They want to do things. They want to go to restaurants. They want to sit there and go to movie theaters again and gyms, and they miss that part of life. So I think that that may start picking up as we get closer and closer and closer towards June 8th and into the summer. So I'm hopeful.
Are people getting restless?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, people are looking for vacation.
I understand alcohol consumption has skyrocketed in the city.
Well, wouldn't you? I mean, all you have to do is sit there and listen to Bill de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo. Wouldn't you want to drink?
I told you guys I would like him. I lived in Washington, D.C. for 12 years, and we would go up to New York, take the choo-choo up there, and particularly during Christmas. And I talk to friends that are up there. I work also with Ameriprise, and the Ameriprise building is down by World Trade Center. And they say this is incredible. It's like a ghost town down there. And people aren't coming back to work. They're doing work at home.
Oh, yeah, it is a ghost town right now. But listen, New York has energy to it that no one else in the world has, no place in the world has.
That's true.
I mean, New York has seen darker days. I mean, my mother worked in the World Trade Center on 9/11. I was in high school. I remember it very, very well. You know, we had the Carter years. We had race riots. We've had so many ups and downs, and I'm an eighth-generation New Yorker. My family's been here for it all. We are an adorable group of people, and we do bring a lot to this country. I mean, I know it's easy to, crap on New York and say bad things about it, but we do bring a certain vitality to this country that is really, really, really important, and there is no place like it, and we can rebuild, and we will rebuild. Hopefully we get better leadership, and we don't have just Bill de Blasio, and we're not just all sitting in our apartments drinking, listening to him. I'm hopeful that we can, and I think that it's important, though, at this time to realize what leadership means. What does it mean to have a leader who's going to stop a riot or bring back an economy or stand up for the people who are victimized by rioters? And I think that that's why, we don't have an election coming up here, in the immediate future, but you guys do, and that's why I keep telling all my friends in Alabama to please vote for Jeff Sessions. I think it's just so, so, so critical at this time to have a strong leader who believes in that, who stands up for, who has real conviction, and not somebody who hires Mark Zuckerberg's team to sit there and tell them about immigration like Tommy Tuberville does. Someone who actually lives in the state, unlike Tommy Tuberville does, the coach from Florida, as I keep calling him. I think that it's really essential that Alabama voters sit there and cast their ballot for Jeff Sessions.
I'm a big student of politics and the pendulum swing, and you have a Richard Nixon, and then this pendulum swings over to Jimmy Carter, and you have Jimmy Carter and Malaise, and pendulum swings over to Ronald Reagan. They did a keeper with George Herbert Walker Bush, but after him they did Bill Clinton, and then just the pendulum swings. And who would it swing to, in your opinion, for Blasio? Who is there? Somebody out on the sidelines that you think would make a good mayor?
We don't really know right now. We have in Brooklyn, we have a Democrat named Eric Adams. He's a former cop. He's pretty good on law enforcement. He's very conservative, and law enforcement is very, very, very important. I would like a man who sits there and understands that New York is a special place. We are the number one threat for terrorism in the entire world, in the entire country, probably in the entire world almost. We are the number one threat for a lot of people who would like to sit there and create another 9/11, and we need a strong leader who can sit there and make sure that we're not vulnerable to those things. I mean, we can build great things, and we can do great things. And I say that, a lot of people don't like New York because we have such a liberal representation in Washington, but people forget there are hundreds of thousands of Republicans in the city that voted for Donald Trump. We just happen to be outnumbered, but it isn't like we don't exist.
No.
There are 2 million New Yorkers in the state that voted for Trump. There are conservative pockets who want, you know, things to happen and who are fighting in the trenches. And we keep it up to Alabama voters to keep us balanced. Make sure we sit there and try our best to make sure the city and the state don't go too far left. But we really hope Alabama voters get out there and support the best candidates to make sure that, you know, our liberal neighbors who are voting for terrible candidates have someone to match them in Washington. And that's why I'm bringing it up once again. But Jeff Sessions is the absolute man of the hour for Alabama voters.
Ryan, I want to thank you for calling in today. That was a great telephone call. I hope I get to visit with you again.
Yes, thank you. Get my book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
And it's June 16th is opening day?
June 16th. It's for pre-order now, so you can get it now if you want it. You get it in the mail on 16th.
Ryan, thank you again so very much.
Thank you.
Going to be back. Bye. Dan Moore Show right after this.
Dan Morris Show. Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Napa Know-How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Revolutionary in his field, Dr. Bonatti created, perfected, and patented the Bonatti spine procedures. Using his genius, Bonatti invented the precise tools necessary to minimize surgery, scarring, anesthesia, and recovery. So successful are the Bonatti spine procedures, they consistently reflect 98.75% patient satisfaction. 60,000 procedures have been performed exclusively at our location. Nearly half our patients have suffered from failed back and neck surgeries at other facilities. Bonatti succeeds where others fail.
David Little from Tucker Pecan is here. Light at the end of the tunnel as things start opening back up.
Amen, brother. Things are opening back up, and we're open at Tucker Pecan. We are ready to sell candies, nuts, and all kinds of great gift items. We still have the great gift items and still have the finest and freshest candies and pecans you will find anywhere. Since all this has been going on, we've been sitting back waiting, but now that we're open, we're ready to see our customers again. And I want to thank all of our customers because during this time, people have been calling, ordering, doing curbside, shipping gifts. I mean, we've shipped gifts for people that I've never met before, some old friends out of state. You know, everybody's worked together to make it through this, and we're going to work harder in 2020 to make sure that our customers know how much we appreciate them, because every day you're what makes Tucker Pecan what it is today.
Tell them where you are located.
We are located at 350 North McDonough Street in downtown Montgomery, or you can check us out on the web at tuckerpecan.com or call us at 262-4470 or like us on Facebook.
Presenting 8 great reasons to rely on C-Square Performance Automotive. Reason 1, we do it all, from brakes to motors and transmissions, oil changes and more. Reason 2, C-Square has all brands of tires. Reasons 3 through 6, great people like Chris Bowers, Duke Jones, Heather Walker, and Ricky Adams. Reason 7, free pickup and delivery in the downtown area. And Reason 8, trust. You will trust us, and your car will love us. C-Square Performance Automotive, 715 Madison Avenue.
Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer. During these uncertain times, CTE and steel are honored to be deemed essential, supporting Tri-County agencies, professionals, and homeowners with steel sales, parts, and service. Now, in order to keep us all safe as you shop in our store for steel gas and battery-powered chainsaws, grass trimmers, blowers, and mowers, we're practicing social distancing and wearing PPE. However, if you prefer, you can now shop CTE's website for all steel, gas, and battery-powered equipment and accessories. You can even purchase and pay for them online and pick them up completely set up and ready to go here inside the store, or we'll bring it to you curbside. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com, proudly serving the Tri-County for over 20 years.
You've just arrived home from a relaxing and well-deserved vacation. As you walk in the door, you hear a squish. That old water heater in your attic has leaked through your ceiling and into your living room, ruining family photos, furniture, and who knows what else. You wonder if this headache could have been avoided. With a tankless water heater from Headley Plumbing, you eliminate the possibility of leaks and maximize your savings. An endless hot water supply means you have the freedom to run the dishwasher, do a load of laundry, and grab a shower without getting an arctic blast of cold water. Talk to Headley today, 285-3667, or visit them online at HeadleyPlumbing.com.
River Region residents know that Headley Plumbing has quick and affordable plumbing and septic services. You can also find quality metal buildings at Headley Plumbing, a new storage building, carports up to 24 feet wide, even a sturdy metal barn up to 54 feet wide. RV owners, check your warranty. Many manufacturers require that your RV is stored undercover to keep your warranty in force. Call Headley Metal Buildings today at 285-3667 or visit HeadleyMetalBuildings.com.
Financing available. See dealer for details.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump, in a video meeting with the nation's governor, says most of you are weak, telling them they have to dominate violent protesters. Joe Biden, meeting with community leaders at a mostly black church in Wilmington, Delaware, says the president is stoking the fires of division.
When you have somebody in power who breathes oxygen to the hate under the rocks, it comes out through the rocks.
It's been another day of cleaning up in cities where demonstrations have turned violent in some cases over the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis a week ago.
Four businesses in North Minneapolis destroyed in overnight fires that witnesses say in one case was deliberately set.
They had seen a vehicle drive around the back of the building, appeared to throw something up onto the roof, and then they saw smoke coming from the roof.
Minneapolis Deputy Fire Chief Kathleen Mullen, that as at least two large peaceful protests also took place.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Southern Tractor, Elba and Troy, Alabama's largest Coyote tractor dealer. The largest selection in the state. Test drive a Coyote today at Southern Tractor, Elba and Troy.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to June. It's going to feel like June as we go through this week. Today, lots of sunshine mixed in with a few clouds. It's going to be a hot day with a high around 90. Could there be an isolated storm somewhere on the radar this afternoon? Sure, that's possible. Overnight low temperature tonight down to about 68. Tomorrow, a sun and cloud mix. Rain chances not zero, but under 20%. Tomorrow, high around 90. Then we'll be in the low 90s on Wednesday. Widely scattered storms. Not much change on Thursday. The storm's a little bit more numerous by Thursday and Friday, though, and into Saturday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 2.25% APR. Schedule an appointment or apply online. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
I'm all right. Nobody but a boy.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are on a Monday. Let's go to the phones and let's go to Flower Child. Flower Child, how was dinner?
We had good fellowship.
But not good food.
I'm not going to say that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, you just made my day.
What?
What's Brian's last name?
Kurdusky. You can find him on, just Google his name and you'll...
You're going to spell that last name.
G-I-R-D-U-S-K-Y. Kurdusky.
Okay. And the other thing I'd like to add about Jeff Sessions, this is a quote from Thomas Gallion. Mm-hmm. He praised Jeff Sessions legal career for prosecuting the KKK. Are you aware of that?
Not aware of that.
Well, anyway, a lot of people say that Jeff Sessions broke the back of the KKK. But I think then the people that sued the KKK broke them financially. But the reason I called in is what the what the riots are doing are just putting another nail in the coffin of the Democrats. I mean, Trump is just letting them destroy themselves. They might as well be taking a half of a cyanide pill every day. What they're doing between the COVID-19 response and now the burning and looting and making the governors and officials look so weak. I don't see why anybody would want to reelect those people.
Yeah, and I think they're realizing it from watching Morning Joe today. They really went out of their way to say this is Trump's fault, it's because of COVID-19, and these are far-right and some left-wing people.
Oh, yes. But they don't show the people that are walking around with an umbrella and a hammer, breaking down the storefront windows with earbuds, professional gas masks, and, handy bricks at all. I mean, they sound more like Bernie Bros, if anything, but we all know it's from Soros. But really what I wanted to get into was, I cannot figure this out. What lie did Flynn tell Vice President Pence?
I'm not sure. I think we're going to find out about that.
Do you think it could have been a thing between Trump, Pence, and Flynn to take a rubber bullet?
To take a rubber bullet?
Mm-hmm. Just to...
No, I think they were after Flynn, and I think they got what they wanted.
Well, I know they went after Flynn and Sessions. But what I'm saying is, did Flynn and Sessions let them take them out on purpose?
No, I don't think so. From me talking to Sessions and my knowledge of the whole situation, I think everybody was blindsided of how expansive this whole thing was and how intentional. And if you're not thinking that people are plotting against you, you're not looking at that as a part of the problem. You're thinking this... I think they thought it was organic. They just thought it was naturally happening.
Well, I disagree. I just think that they knew what... I don't think they're as dumb as Comey wants to present them as, oh, gee whiz, we didn't know what was happening. I just can't see a three-star intelligent general being tripped up by some word, and now we find out that in the transcripts there was never... anything there.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question then, Plouchot. Mm-hmm. If it's not that, then what is it? Why did he do it? Why did Flynn take a bullet?
What have we learned because of all these investigations?
Well,
you
would have known that. If he would have been there, you would have known that faster.
But how do you get the documentation of these people that are guilty of something unless you have an investigation and bring evidence to the... to the forefront. Like it started falling apart when they found Peter Stroke and Lisa Page's text. What I'm trying to say is maybe Trump and Flynn and Sessions knew.
I'm just telling you that they took those two players off the field. Trump had already said they had wiretapped me. The reason that they couldn't get in they couldn't work on that is they were worried about Russia collusion, and they were dealing with all of that for years. And then finally when they got that cleared up, then they started going in and doing the investigation, and they went, oh, no, you got Ukraine now. And so it's always been this next thing that's there. They've been trying to get to it. If Flynn would not have been taken off the battlefield, it would have happened a lot faster.
To me, everything that's happened has been going after Trump to get the globalists, so that they don't get arrested and everything. But on the KT McFarland, see, I keep sticking up for Sessions, unwavering support for him. But see, if Bill Barr had to send investigations out of D.C. after Comey, Clapper, and Brennan, and everybody else, Loretta Lynch, Susan Rice, they're all gone. How can people expect Sessions to have done anything? What he did instead was he hired Durham and Huber and Horowitz, and he opened up the investigation into Epstein, and he opened up the investigation into 27 leaks, and then he also prosecuted some of these Chinese students that are stealing state secrets.
Right.
You know, so I think he was doing things, but he had to do it, like I call it, as a submarine, because he knew he wasn't going to get anywhere with all the powers that be that were still in play until after they were gone.
And I don't disagree with that concept. You were basically saying that Jeff Sessions and Michael Flynn took the bullet intentionally. I don't think that's the case.
Okay, well, I'm not trying to say this, but did you remember me telling you that the Antifa and the National Guard would be fighting?
That the what?
When I was explaining that I thought people would be protesting last week, and I said, you asked me, you think Republicans versus Democrats? I said, no. I said, Antifa versus National Guard. Do you remember that?
I don't remember quite that. I was getting into that conversation that you thought it was going to be Republican and Democrat. Matter of fact, I think I asked you that.
Yes, and I said Antifa and National Guard.
Okay, well, I wouldn't have disagreed with that.
And Joey can tell you what else I think might happen, but I won't say it on air. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think you're right, Dan, in the sense that she's half right. All those investigations she talked about, I think Sessions did set all that up. But whether it's Jeff Sessions, I've started calling it the Kislyak screw job. In fact, it got two of them. It got Sessions and it got Flynn, and I don't think Sessions thought he did anything wrong, and I don't think Flynn thought he did anything wrong, and that's why it caught him off guard.
Well, you heard in the K.T. McFarland, one of the interesting things is that Kislyak says that the Obama administration is out to get you. She says that. That's part of the transcript in there. And he was exactly right. And that, in other words, he was saying that this is being done intentionally to hurt you.
Right.
Let's go to the last clip of K.T. McFarland.
I just want to get your last thought, KT, on this one last piece, which I thought was interesting. December 31st, 2016, Kislyak says, and I just wanted to tell you that we found that these actions have targeted not only against Russia, but also against the president-elect, meaning, you know, all of the investigation that went on beforehand and the suspicions that were surrounding all of this. What do you take away from that?
Look, Vladimir Putin had no intention of responding and escalating this crisis. Obama administration didn't figure that out. Putin had far more to lose by perpetuating a bad relationship with the United States. I think Putin played us all like a violin. He pretended they were going to retaliate, then they didn't retaliate. And what did Putin accomplish by that? He looked like a great statesman. He managed to embarrass President Obama, calling him petty kitchen diplomacy. And he got brownie points with President Trump. But it all came apart because of the Russia collusion delusion. They decided, the outgoing Obama administration, the intelligence officials, and a lot of people in the media who were cooperating with them, they were going to find a scandal no matter what kind of a scandal it was. You know, when Stalin was president of the head of the Soviet Union, his super secret spy chief, Beria, he said to Stalin, "You find me the man, I'll find you the crime." And that's what this entire Russia hoax was all about. They wanted to find a crime, whatever crime would do, even one they had to make up.
She didn't catch the nuance of what she was saying, but basically the transcript says, and the Obama administration is doing it to you.
Right.
And that is exactly what had happened.
Well, and what's interesting to me is even though you rarely get a glimpse into what the highest levels of government are saying to our adversary, so to speak. And so when I read these transcripts, I'm like, Flynn's doing it exactly right. He gives the American interest, then he listens to Kislyak, and all of Flynn's responses are noncommittal. The only thing that's committal is we're going to make this call, maybe set up a meeting when the president's sworn in. But even when Kislyak says stuff like that, Flynn's like, yeah, okay, I hear you. It just, the tone comes across as, okay, I understand. But there's no quid pro quo. There's no, like, secret deal-making going on. It's very just getting information across.
Exactly. I mean, there's nothing there. Absolutely nothing there. Now, what's going to happen, like a lot of things, is one side's going to read it and they go, oh, yeah, this is like smoking gun deluxe.
Yeah.
But when I read it and try to read it objectively, I don't see that at all. Let me go to a break. Coming back, let's hit Senator Ron Johnson right after this.
Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be?
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
2 years from now, got any plans? I don't. But two-year contracts make you plan around them anyway. What's even happening tomorrow? At WOW, we give contracts the modern touch by not having them. With us, not only do you get our super-fast Internet 200 for a ridiculously low $44.99 a month, but you'll also get safe, simple, contact-free installation. Sign up today at WOWWay.com.
Wow.
Limited offer for new customers with autopay and paperless billing, equipment, taxes, and fees extra. Offer subject to change. Restrictions and terms apply.
Lewis at the Capital Oyster Bar, and I just want to tell you, if you're in business or got an event coming up and want to do some advertising, wisely spent dollars are spent down here at Blue Water Broadcasting. All the guys are nice, easy to work with, and I see results, I guarantee you.
Radio advertising is an investment in the success of your business. It grows traffic, creates demand, and generates more revenue. Call us and find out how. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes I feel a little mad.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
When things go wrong, I seem to be bad.
272-9228, that's where we are.
Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Santa Pat Dye passed away. Excuse really? Me. What a wonderful guy. And really just such a delight to be around. Let's go to Senator Ron Johnson. He's got some interesting things to say about these hearings he's got coming up. Ron Johnson and Lindsey Graham are kind of the lead on this.
Meanwhile, the Senate is set to take key action this week on investigating the Russia probe, the origins of that probe. Senator Ron Johnson forcing a vote to decide whether he, as chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, can subpoena records and testimony related to Crossfire Hurricane and the unmasking of Michael Flynn. Senator Johnson joins me right now. You are investigating the transition from the Obama administration into the Trump administration. Can you walk us through what you have learned so far?
Well, first of all, we learned that what America is just admired for, the fact that both political parties respect the wishes of the American voters, and so we've throughout our history had a very peaceful and cooperative, and I'd even say well-wishing, transition of power from one administration to the next. What we saw was a total corruption of that, before, during, and after this transition. It's incredibly serious. It amazes me how little attention the media is really paying to this aspect of it. But we're talking about potentially State Department involvement in helping obtain the Steele dossier and pushing that into the FBI. We're talking about possible burrowing in. We see that now what we know is corrupt investigations, the misuse of defensive briefings, all the media leaks. And, of course, the Obama administration holdovers, what they did once they were inside the Trump administration to frustrate and sabotage his administration. So this is a serious, serious internal attack and assault on our democracy, the most serious possibly in our history, and the press is largely just ignoring it. We're not going to ignore it. I'm going to get to the bottom. I'm going to find out what happened because the American people deserve the truth.
Okay, I'm liking Ron Johnson more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the dual Lindsey Graham, Ron Johnson, and we get Marco Rubio working on the intel part of things. That'd be great, but he probably won't do that out of respect for Burr. Okay, so Johnson's going to be talking about leaks interfering with the transition process. This is kind of a new little twist on this, of that they were really trying to screw up the transition process with the leaks. Listen in.
And in fact, you mentioned media leaks. Let's go through those, because the amount of media leaks in the first 125 days is actually stunning. Tell us what you learned, Senator.
Actually, a leak a day. 125 leaks in the first 126 days. And 62 of these leaks threatened national security by President Obama's own definition of that, because they were concerned about that as well. They had 8 leaks of a similar nature in Obama versus the Bush administration, about 9. They had 62. President Trump had 62 that threatened national security. It was completely out of control. And you know who knows what, you know, who leaked this information and what was falsely leaked to them? The news media. It was leaked to 18 different outlets, and I haven't seen too much investigation reporting or investigatory reporting from the media in terms of how they were either duped or complicit in this corruption of the transition process.
That's pretty amazing, that many leaks. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to tie up the transition process where it couldn't have a smoothness to it. You remember I always said they were hitting the hornet's nest of Russia to try to stir them up, get them mad at Trump, get Trump to overreact, or for them to react to Trump, but they didn't, smartly on their part, smartly on Trump's part. I think Michael Flynn probably had something to do with that. And they were trying to do that so they could promote their Russian narrative. So let me stay with Senator Johnson on the Michael Flynn transcript.
In fact, we did get the declassification of the phone call between General Michael Flynn and Ambassador Kislyak. What can you tell us about what we learned from that declassification of that phone call? This, of course, was one of the issues that Jim Comey used to ambush General Flynn.
Well, what we learned is General Flynn was doing exactly what you would expect somebody who's going to become national security advisor to the incoming administration. He was reaching out. He was talking to other foreign leaders, including the ambassador of Russia. It's exactly what you'd expect. There was nothing improper about those conversations at all. But what we did learn from the Michael Flynn trial and Sidney Powell is the fact that the FBI on January 4th, we're ready to close the case on Michael Flynn. They're investigating his contacts with Turkey and other matters. They come to the conclusion there was really nothing to continue investigation or bring charges, so they're going to close that up. But then apparently word came down from on high, the seventh floor, James Comey's office, said, no, let's keep this open. Maybe there's Hatch Act violations. And that began the corruption of that process and the really persecution of General Flynn, who headed up the Defense Intelligence Agency. I don't think anybody would consider him anything other than a patriot.
I tell you what, I'm liking Johnson. He's very resolute, very absolute about the whole thing, and that's a great sign for me. And he understands the moving parts very well. So let's go. Listen, this one's going to be good. Hillary Clinton's, remember this, emails.
Let's talk about the fact that the same team that was working on Crossfire Hurricane to investigate Donald Trump was the same team working at the same time on Hillary Clinton in an investigation into her email. We have Hillary using a State Department email. Tell me what you've learned about that in all of your investigating. Did President Obama understand that she was using this different server?
He certainly should have. We do know, because we've gotten records from the National Archives now, that the header on those emails that Hillary Clinton sent to President Obama had hillaryclinton.email.com, not statedepartment.classified.gov. And so President Obama must have been, and other people throughout the State Department, realized she was using a private server, and they all realized what a significant risk that posed, as well as the law. govern this. Under the Espionage Act, 793, subsection F, states that not only somebody who mishandles national security information through gross negligence is vulnerable or culpable under that legal standard, but anybody that has knowledge of it as well. So you had people throughout the State Department, including President Obama, that should have had knowledge of. I've always felt that was one of the reasons why we saw the exoneration of Hillary Clinton. And of course, that same group of people, the Peter Strzok's of the world, you know, those high members of the FBI edited that exoneration email to make sure that gross negligence was taken out of that, and anything else that was really incriminating for Hillary Clinton was removed from that initial memo so that they could exonerate her back on July 5th of 2016, setting up the election and setting up the investigations for President Trump or into his campaign.
Wouldn't it be interesting if we got back to the Hillary Clinton emails? I mean, that has to be further down the track.
I always assumed
the fact that he said that was amazing to me.
I always assume that's the moving target from far off. You get a million points for it, and don't even bother with it. But maybe there's something.
The fact
to
that
it.
He mentioned it was pretty stunning to me. I don't know.
That one
kind of caught me by surprise because I went back and had to play it back and go, did he say what I thought he said? Okay, so Senator Johnson, the text messages and several agencies at the same time leaking.
Senator, we've got all of these texts from Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, his then girlfriend, and one of them I want to point out was Peter Strzok writing to Lisa Page, think our sisters have begun leaking like mad, scorned and worried and political, they're kicking into overdrive. So they all were aware of the leaks, and they all were aware that there were informants running into campaign people as early as March of 2016. What were they going into overdrive about over at the CIA?
It was the leaks. And that's the text I've been highlighting because I think it's just a seminal moment in this process, because 6 days before that, the Washington Post ran its first story on the whole Russian interference issue, stating a secret CIA assessment that Russia intervened on behalf or to help President Trump win the White House. Now, we've seen reports that John Brennan had information the exact opposite, that Russia actually wanted to see Hillary Clinton win because she was a known quantity and Trump was a wild card. So that really began this process of leaks, as we said earlier, 125 in the first 126 days that set up this Russian narrative, first of Russia helping Trump, and then all of a sudden the Trump campaign, including with Russia, would set up a special counsel, even though by the end of January the FBI knew full well that there was nothing to that hoax, that they still allowed a special counsel to be set up in May of that year. So again, this is the corruption of that process. And Maria, from what I've seen, I really do believe that there is an effort underway from the day after the election. It actually started before that, but really kicked into high gear the day after the election to sabotage this administration. And look at what it resulted in an impeachment trial as well. So there's an awful lot to be uncovered. There's an awful lot the American people need to understand.
News Show 93.1, Dan Morris Show on a Monday, starting your week out right. Going to be back for the final hour after our top of the hour break.
Sometimes I feel a little mad, but don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel when things go wrong?